think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing
thing. What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so
most
smart.
Of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
You know, the thing about it is, do men really feel that their work is more groundbreaking than women, though?
I really don't think it's that conscious. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this
is Two Guys on Your Head.
Is Two Guys on Your Head.
And Rebecca.
Today, we'll continue our discussion about motivation and self-presentation by talking about explanation accessibility.
We've talked about marked and unmarked groups with respect to a culture. And so the being unmarked means it's unremarkable. You don't have to notice it. So if you're a member of the most powerful group in a culture, then you don't necessarily have to think about your identity in many situations. Whereas when you are in a minority in a situation, then your identity becomes salient, clear. So if we go back to this issue of the strength of the claims that you make about your research, if you overclaim the significance of your research, people might call you out on it, but it's not going to have an influence on your, you know, if you're a white male, it's not going to have an influence on the way that people judge every application by a white male.
Yeah.
But if you are a woman in a field that is dominated by men, you may believe that overclaiming the significance of your work not only could backfire on you, it could backfire on all women applying.
Yeah. I don't think that there's a deliberate, I'm going to oversell this thing. I think it's just, as Art's saying, I'm willing to go out there and push my optimism about this. And if it doesn't turn out, well, it doesn't turn out. Whereas I think women are a little more circumspect, and I'm not going to say that when I don't know that.
One of the ways that this does play out is, you know, when we look at asymmetries, right? So you could say for why is it that white men don't acknowledge the benefits of their, you know, of being white males, the privilege that comes along with that in their success? And that's because it's not an accessible construct. If you're not reminded of it in every situation because you're part of the dominant, the most powerful elements of that culture, so it's not something you're thinking about, it's not something that is an accessible explanation. When you think, why did I succeed in this situation? You think, well, it's because I'm good. I worked hard. I've done all of these things that put me in a position to succeed. And likewise, because those dimensions, race, gender, ethnicity, are not accessible for you as explanations, when you look at other people who also differ in level of success and race, gender, and or ethnicity, that's still not an accessible construct. So you think, well, they must not have worked as hard as I did, or they must not be as talented as I am, and not there are this other set of factors that also came into play. And so, you know, you're just beginning over the last 20 years to really see those ideas become more accessible throughout the culture.
Yeah.
So what information is accessible influences how we explain things, you know, for good and for ill, right? I mean, so the fact that something is an accessible construct doesn't necessarily mean it is the explanation.
Exactly.
And of course, you know, for human interactions, there is a multiplicity of factors that drive success. So it's a matter, you know, it's a matter of what we're emphasizing at different times. So it's interesting to notice both that there are cultural differences in which explanations are accessible, which then has an influence on people's behavior. And, what factors are accessible drive all sorts of things, not only human behavior, but also they drive policy decisions. They drive, you know, beliefs about what we're trying to accomplish societally.
And the accessibility thing cuts both ways, right? Because if I have an explanation for something that's readily accessible, because in my experience in interacting with other people and reading and those kind of things, you know, I know that you know, women are characterized in a particular way, or people who are of another ethnicity are characterized in a particular way, well, then that's the accessible explanation that comes to mind, right? Because not only is my privilege not accessible to me, but neither is their challenges and impediments that they face that I have no experience with whatsoever. So I don't even, how could I know they exist? They never happened for me, right?
So if we take this out of the domain of race, gender, and ethnicity for a moment, There's a great, actually, Tori Higgins did some work on this too. So Tori did some studies that came to be known as the Donald studies, because there was a vignette about a guy named Donald. These studies were done in the 70s.
Yeah.
So this is not about any particular Donald who might be accessible at
That's
the moment.
That's right. Right.
Donald has a series of characteristics that might make him seem to you to be very self-confident or to appear arrogant, where self-confident is a positive attribute, arrogant is a negative one. And what the studies manipulated was the accessibility, that is, how easily would it come to mind to think of someone as either confident or arrogant. And the more accessible that concept was, the more likely you were to put that concept on your explanation for Donald's behavior. So here you have this thing that's ambiguous, but what is easy for you to think about influences the way you interpret it, and that drives a tremendous amount of our behavior in general in the world. The world has huge amounts of ambiguity in it, right? There's lots of things that could be going on. We don't experience a lot of that ambiguity, meaning we don't walk around thinking, wow, it could be this or it could be that. We're like, I know exactly what's going on here. There are, you know, certainly if you're traveling in a foreign country or something, you might not understand what's happening. But generally speaking, you don't think, well, there's three possibilities for what's happening here. You think, I understand what's happening in the world right now, and you act accordingly. And a lot of that works because what concepts you have accessible to you in that moment often do a pretty good job of creating the right interpretation of what's going on around you.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of intrusive thoughts with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.